Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
It's a myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. Welcome to Adventures in Randland. I'm Andy, and today we pick up where we left off last week. We'll be talking about chapters 4 through 8. Unfortunately for Wendy, we can't talk about the whole book. See, Wendy here says, I don't give her enough to read. And it is what it is. So my goal this episode, after listening to myself last episode, is to talk a little bit less and have Wendy talk more. So if I'm talking too much, you just yell at me.
Really?
Why not? I'm used to it, you know?
Oh!
Ouch!
Oh, it hurts!
All right, we're going to start with chapter 4, titled The Gleeman. Quick synopsis of this chapter is a white-haired man, large mustache, walks out of an inn and introduces himself as Tom Marilyn, the Gleeman. He does a couple of tricks, and with juggling, then Moraine shows up. They have a bit of an uncomfortable conversation and go their separate ways. The boys ran into Tam, and he tells Rand that they're headed back to the farm, but they will come back for Beltane the next day. And on the way back to the farm, Tam tells Rand that a couple of other boys had also seen the rider. Wendy, anything stick out to you in this chapter? What would you like to...
Right.
No, Tam is the father.
Tam, yeah. That Tam looks to check and make sure everything's okay. And it's just a lot more of the foreshadowing of what's going on.
That's the only thing I made fun of you with in the first episode of the other one, by the way.
What?
Your foreshadowing. When it came time to talk about something that was foreshadowed, I mentioned you. Like, as Wendy would say. So what are your initial thoughts on the Gleeman, since he is the title character of our chapter?
Self-deprecating.
Yeah.
That used to be higher up. Like, that he did used to be, like, one of the...
That's a good guess. I like it. Anything else in this chapter? There really wasn't a whole lot in this chapter. I mean, the boys, the Matt Perrin and Rand all just kind of realized that they all three saw this horseman. But I do think it's kind of funny that Rand's kind of like, well, I mean, we need more people to have said they saw it, because having Matt's opinion may actually hurt, not help. So. For some reason, that just cracks me up.
Saying, you know, go find other kids who've seen.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, exactly right.
So he was like, you're seeing him come out kind of as a leader.
Yep, I agree.
In some of this stuff. It's kind of what I saw. I'm just like looking through real quickly. I thought that the agreement said that it was going to tell more stories than they were used to, too.
Yep, and in a little town like this, he kind of assumes they're not going to know a lot of the stories anyway, you know what I mean?
Right, that might have had a past.
Isn't it? That's a good point, because I was about to move on to the next chapter, but I do want to stop for a second on that. That their conversation back and forth was a little bit barbed, you know, like they know who each other are, but don't want to have to tell everybody who each other are, almost, you know?
Right, because Ewan, you know, was saying that, you know.
Yep, and she said, let me see if I can find it in the actual text. She said something about calling him a bard, and he goes, oh, right. No, I'm just a lowly gleeman type thing.
Yeah.
He kind of hints that he knows more about her than what she's letting on as well.
She called him a master bard.
Yes. So I enjoyed the back and forth. It's like, there's more here. You know there must be more here.
She's saying it.
Just Moraine, yes.
Moraine, exactly. So that was the one thing.
And meanwhile, the mountain just stands behind her and doesn't say anything.
Exactly.
Land.
Exactly.
Manish, well done.
Is like, she's too busy.
She likes to poo-poo.
She does.
See, I think it comes from her being so young when she became this position of power, the wisdom in the town, so she doesn't feel like she gets the respect that she should be getting. So because of that, it seems like she's angry a lot.
Right, that's it. I can't find it now, but and then the mayor.
Ah, yes.
He was getting cranky before. So I think that was also showing that there's like a lot of stress in the town.
Right. Well, and if you think about it, what we know so far is that it's been a very cold spring. It was a very tough winter. Wolves and bears and whatnot coming down and attacking where they don't normally attack.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nobody's plants are growing, these crops are growing, you know, I mean, it's not a good start to the year. And then this is supposed to be the one happy time in that spring where it doesn't matter that it's been kind of a crappy start. And here you have bickering between, you know,
the mayor and the wisdom, who are kind of like two leaders,
right?
In a sense, and like they're even saying how they don't get
along. Well, I don't think Nynaeve gets along with.
She
doesn't seem to get along with people in power in general in the town. So.
So I don't know. I mean, it just says.
So whose side are you taking? Are you going to take the wisdom side, or are you going to take the mayor's side?
There's some age behind him, and he's seen some things, but I think the wisdom, even though she's young and she's trying to prove herself, that reason.
That's fair. I like it. I will say it doesn't seem like anybody in this town is at all surprised that it's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on chapter 4? Perfect.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting. Not. I mean, this doesn't matter, but I just thought it's kind of funny when he and Tom, when the Gleeman is talking about what he's, you know, the show he's going to put on. And he says he asks Egwene to be his assistant during it, and he tells Rand, says, "Wow, you're as tall as a Gleeman, or I mean, as tall as an Iemon, but nobody in this town's as tall as you, and you're as big as an Ogier to pair." And he goes, later, I'm going to have you both try to lift me up, and neither one of you will be able to. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Just that whole magician's act, almost.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he...
And how sad, I mean, I don't live in a huge town, but how sad that this is going to be the best Beltane ever because they got this guy.
Yeah.
What an exciting life they must live.
Yeah, but they're also talking, and it's being foreshadowed also by like the talk of war and refugees and other people coming into town.
That is true.
And that was the other thing too. They were saying maybe that black stranger is like the cloaked stranger is a refugee.
Yeah, could be, and they're absolutely.
But I don't because it seems like
no, this isn't your conversation, okay? All right, moving on to chapter 5, Winter Night. First true action we get is in this chapter. So Tam and Rand return to the farm and notice nothing out of the ordinary. So Rand's chopping his wood, Dad is cooking dinner. And when Rand comes inside to get ready for dinner, he notices that Tam locks the doors and never really does that, and comes back to the kitchen with a sword on hooked up on his side, and this confuses Rand because Rand has never seen Tam with a sword, and just as they're getting ready to eat, Trollocs burst through the door. Tam engages with them and tells Rand to run. Your thoughts? Oh, I guess there's more to it, too. I'm sorry. I need to prepare better.
It's being gross. Didn't happen. And what would they do for, like, food? He's, like, chopping wood. And, like, the wood is, you know, he can still keep doing that, chopping the wood. And Dad does get the sword. It was locked up. Like you said, it was locked up and hidden. And how his dad had said that his mom felt like he had spent too much on it, and that it was a foolish thing to do. But something called to him to buy it.
Absolutely.
But if the thing is what, you know, what would call them to buy it? They also make mention of something that was on the sword, but
the heron mark.
The heron mark, and that it was also really, really sharp after it had shot through something. If I remember correctly, I can't remember where in it.
I think that's either later this. I think that's later in this chapter, or maybe next chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, heron marks are special in this. So
yeah,
heron mark on sword is a big deal. I'm not going to go into huge detail about that, although I think some of it gets explained later in today's reading. But they go into more details throughout the series. Basically, if you have a heron mark sword, if you defeat somebody with a heron mark sword, you defeated a blade master. So it's a pretty big deal, and I think Tam's story here is probably a little bit full of poo.
I think so too, because he said that he paid 2 coppers for it, which he said was way too much for it, which doesn't seem right if that we were talking like really would be a lot.
I think he said 2 coppers would be too much for it.
Oh, yeah.
He said the price he paid was too much.
Too much.
Yep. What are your thoughts on these Trollocs? Yep. That's a little interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. He also knew that they could, what some of their...
I don't feel like Tam's being completely forthright with everything. You know, he's like, oh, well, I had heard that they can see well in the dark and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, you know a lot more than what you're pretending.
Exactly. You know, he seemed to be able to fight the Trollocs pretty well.
He sure did, didn't he?
Yeah.
That wasn't right. One Trolloc he killed. Yes.
So
snuck up behind him.
Because he had been injured to help his dad. And, you know, so he could bring him to get help. And, you know. So
yeah, at least several.
So that's where I thought it was really, really interesting. He goes back to the house.
Right.
Sheep, everything. Everything was.
Trollocs kill for the fun of it.
Yeah,
it was, I think it was back inside the house, but what was his name, Gord or Nord or something like that? He was actually a talking Trolloc, which is a little bit odd.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, because they didn't talk. Hold on, I'm trying to find the thing, because back to the farm. Because see, I have to read this, I think, before we talk, because I read it because I'm so excited, right after we stop this, and then I read other books because I can't keep reading it.
Right. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Narg.
There you go, Narg.
Narg was staying away. He was just talking.
I think it's funny when the Trollocs first broke into the house, Rand's like, oh, at least it's not the rider. And he's like, oh, crap, what are those? But his first reaction is, oh, at least it's not the rider.
Yeah. And then that Murdrum wanted to talk to him. I guess stories.
Right. And 20 feet tall.
I don't know if we've heard of Murdrum before, have we?
We have not yet.
So, and then he said, I guess that was a fade, but we don't know really what a fade is.
We do not know that yet either, correct. It's going to take some land explaining to get all that information.
Yeah, exactly. Strange that...
From the sounds of it, the Trolloc just kind of ran onto his blade.
Chat about...
Okay, I like it. I like it.
Because it just seems like there's something to him that he could see, you know, that he could see the shadow, for lack of a better word, the black feel him. Even though other ones felt it too.
Eventually, there is a word for it that you're looking for, but you can't come up with. There is a word in the story for it, but I don't think we're going to learn that for a few weeks. So,
right.
It may not even be until the next book. I can't remember when they bring it up, but yeah, it's. But I like where your brain's going on that.
Yeah, shade for right now. I need shadow.
Sure.
But But so there's everything up the smash, but he tries to put together a litter so he can carry his dad, because he's not going to be able to carry his dad as is.
Right. I mean, he could probably carry him, a couple of blocks, if you will, but he's got to go all the way back into town.
Right. So stuff like that. But what I thought was strange was that he didn't grab any food. And I know that he was, scrambling and trying to get out, but it just kind of always seems to me like, well, there had to be, some cheese or something like that he could have grabbed with Brett. It seems strange that he didn't.
As a man who's always hungry, I would have grabbed food myself.
Starving beforehand.
Right.
I knew that he was going to do it, but it just seemed weird because, maybe it's just from training that I've always had. It's in survival instincts, you always need food, water, and,
the barest of medical supplies.
Yeah, and the barest of medical, in tool of some sort.
Right.
A knife or something like that. Those are just with you to ensure that, you can survive.
Now, to be fair, this is a surprise attack on a little town that doesn't even believe these things exist. And his dad's been hurt, and, his brain's probably somewhere else, too,
But he did remember the water. He did remember the waters.
So he gets an A-. Maybe a B+.
Yeah.
Because food's important.
Yes, food's important.
Then again, he's on his way to town anyway, and he assumes they're going to have plenty of food and stuff like that for him when he gets there. So Dwayne's mom will cook him up some hotcakes.
Made these when he chopped the, I guess it was to make the litter for his dad.
Yep.
And that's when he found out that the sword was still sharp as ever.
Which is a little odd. I think they mentioned that even an axe would have dulled some. From that kind of work. Exactly. This is a sword that's not made to be doing that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, Tam, and that's all he's thinking is he has to get to Tam.
Do you find it strange that Nynaeve seems to be able to cure people so well?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought, with the wisdom and stuff like that, that there is some magic to her.
Okay.
Because I figured that there had to be someone who became the wisdom or something like that, that there had to be some kind of, that they weren't just...
That at least that's what they're looking for, is something like that.
Yes, so. that has some kind of magical substance.
Okay. Anything else stand out to you in this chapter?
Their farm would have been attacked. But I guess when you're in that much shock, you don't think that other people, because I would have been scared that the village would have been attacked, or other farms would have been attacked.
Sure.
I mean, he's kind of nervous. Well, I think it's the next thing where he's going into the other town.
Now,
and that comes up. But I think, it seems strange that just... Because they're in the outskirts.
Right, right. That's what I was going to say, is I think they're kind of isolated on this farm. I mean, their nearest neighbor is a ways away, even.
Right, right.
But yeah, it is odd that he thinks that everybody else is going to be fine, and for some reason, their farm was just singled out to be attacked by these mythical creatures that were just in the stories until an hour ago.
Maybe it was also because the Trolloc was also telling him that...
The Myrdral?
The Myrdral wanted to talk to him.
Right. True.
So maybe that's why he thought that it was just, his voice.
Oh, that's a good call as well. I agree. So when I think of Trollocs, I think of orcs from Tolkien.
Tolkien.
Thank you. I will say it wrong the whole time, and I won't apologize.
Yeah, because I'm going to say everybody else's name.
There we go. That's fair. I've never been able to say his name for some reason.
Yeah. I think, with these Trollocs, they kind of have tusks coming out.
Right.
Like, their chain mail and all this other stuff. And that was also strange, too, because, I just thought of this now. He killed that guy, the one Trolloc, the chain mail. But the the knife also went, the sword also went through the chain mail.
Oh, yeah, and it doesn't sound like it had too much trouble getting through it either.
And then it was still sharp.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Doesn't seem like your average everyday sword, does it? A little odd for a sheep herder to have a sword like that.
We are starting to hear a little
bit
of his colored eyes and how tall he was.
And he mentioned, Rand mentioned that his mom was an Outlander. His dad had left the Two Rivers area when he was a boy, or when he was about Rand's age, I think.
Yeah, but he never really talked about it.
Nope, but he came home with an Outlander wife named Carrie. And, but as she's not alive, you don't really meet her much in the story.
Yeah, I have a feeling she's a pivotal part. I have a feeling Ed, Tam are a pivotal part to who Rand is.
Well, I agree 100%. Absolutely.
Actually, talking about this, I'm wondering if the reason why Rand settled back into Rivers is because it was isolated.
It wouldn't surprise me. So, if he had gone out and he'd done his exploring and he came back and was like, you know what, I want the
and
quiet
had
life.
That big. That's why I thought he was spending too much on it, but yeah, he thought it was a good deal, and maybe because she thought if they're going to be in this quiet little village, there's no need for it. So, but maybe I'm reading too much.
Tell you what, that woman just keeps nagging. Like, let the man have his sword, lady. All right. Anything else on chapter 5? I agree. I guess I probably wouldn't have asked that if I didn't, so. All right, chapter 6, titled The Westwood. So Rand treats his father's wounds, and he's confused because it's only just a little scratch. He says that his dad's kind of worse while doing chores around the house. He puts together the litter and drags his father through the woods towards Emmons Field. Tam starts muttering in his fever dream about wars. Rand silences him as Virgil comes by, or the man in black, or however you want to say it. I think I just gave you more information than I needed to, but you would have learned it real soon anyway. Passes on the road, and after passing by, Tam starts muttering again, this time about Avindasora, which is the Tree of Life, and about how they came across the wall and all of that good stuff. Tam says in his mutterings, he says he found a baby and brought him home to Carrie. And yes, Carrie, Rand is a good name for a boy. Thoughts?
Yeah. That one was a surprise.
Yes, first good big surprise of the story, I think.
Yeah, Rand.
Doesn't appear that Rand, that mom and dad are actually mom and dad.
Mom and dad. Exactly. That he was fat.
I find it humorous that Rand is taller than everybody else in the town. He's got a different color of eyes, and you know, I mean, he's got all this, but it never occurred to him that maybe dad and mom aren't actually mom and dad.
Well, his mom might have.
You're 100% right on that.
You know, I think that's how he did it, but he kept saying that, right, no. Is his dad. Tam is his dad. He doesn't want to believe anything else but Tam's his dad.
Yeah, he takes it hard.
He does.
Which I would too in that situation. That's not how you want to be told you've been adopted.
Yeah.
No, it's just the fever dreams.
Yes, exactly. He felt that it's a fever dream, you know, because then his dad wants you to be quiet. You have to be quiet. Mom wants you to be quiet.
Yep. It seems like from the mutterings that Tam has seen a whole lot more of the world than he's let on to as well.
Right.
Like, what's he doing at Dragonmount during this war to even find the baby? You know, I mean,
from, like, if he's saying what would happen with the refugees coming and people escaping war, it seemed like Tam kind of knew.
Yeah, like Tam had an idea of what was, way more of an idea of what was going on than anybody else there did.
Right.
Or what needed to be done, how to handle everything, so.
Did, you know, as he was struggling to get his dad into town, he wasn't taking the road, he was trying to stay hidden.
Right.
Because you just didn't know what was out. So, like, I guess it was kind of, the Chalons were still around. They still might be hunting him. That, well, and he knew.
Right. But you have to, you think too, okay, so his father, Cam, has this fancy sword with herrings on it. And that he bought, spent too much for, you know, two pennies is too much for a sword, et cetera, et cetera. And so he has this fancy sword. He seems to know about war. It's just kind of strange. You know, he has this focusing technique, you know, that Rand calls the Flame of the Void, that helps him win at the archery contest every year. We learned that last week.
Right.
So it seems like there's a whole lot more to Tam than meets the eye. I'm feeling some mafia relocation, FBI safe house type stuff here. You know, change your name, go settle down in a small town.
But how did Tam originally been from?
He had.
He had, but he's gone?
They did not. Just that he came back with the wife and the child. When he was originally, when Robert Jordan was originally writing it, he had in mind that Tam was going to be the main character.
So, I think that we'll learn more about Tam in the future. I think
that is probably a pretty good guess.
I think there's a lot more to be.
I said I like it. I like the guess. All right, anything else about Chapter 6?
Did they make it into town?
Nope, that would be Chapter 7. Chapter 6 is mostly just the fever dream.
Right.
And skulking through the woods.
Right, and how he found Tam.
Yep.
Sorry, because out of the...
Would be, yes, that would be the title of the next chapter. How convenient. All right, Chapter 7, Out of the Woods. So it's early morning by the time Rand gets into town with Tam and... His happiness disappears when he at sea in the town when he sees that the town is on fire, basically. I mean, it's a shit show there. Nynaeve, he calls for Nynaeve. She comes and looks at him, and, you know, she feels bad, but she's like, there's nothing I can do to help him. Sorry, I know who I can heal and who I can't, and I need to go help other people, so tough luck, Rand. So he decides he's going to take Tam to the mayor. And the mayor tells him, between Tom the Gleeman and the mayor, that he ends up finding out that Moraine's an Aes Sedai. The mayor tells him, hey, you know, in the stories, Aes Sedai can heal. You always pay a price, but they can heal. So Rand goes and finds Moraine, and she agrees to do what she can for Tam. Your thought?
Oh, the Talaks weren't going to just come to the one place, but it just seemed like, it seems strange. Didn't they also say that, just because knowing that the mayor and
Tam or Tom
and Nynaeve don't get along, it was kind of like going mom and dad.
Yeah, isn't it? The town's mom and dad, exactly.
Because didn't they originally, the mayor go get Nynaeve?
Right.
And she's like, I told him already.
And I find that interesting there, too, that Nynaeve looks at him, and all he has is this little cut on him, but, you know, he's obviously feverish and all that, and she instantly knows that she can't heal him. He's right. Beyond repair, sorry.
Right.
And I found that pretty interesting. It's almost like she's, like you said, she's got some kind of magic to her, but she doesn't know necessarily that she does. She just knows, you know? She just listens to the wind, and...
Yeah, it's like, I mean... You know, and that's when the mayor said about, that's when the Aes Sedai comes up.
Right.
About Moraine.
Interesting, too, that Tom was like, well, I could have mentioned her at the beginning, but I'm a stranger here, and I don't need to be the one coming up with that kind of stuff.
Right.
The dragon thing.
It wasn't a nice thing, too.
Yeah, it's like the sign of the devil, if you will. You know, like, that's the... You don't want the dragon fang scrawled on your door. That means you're an evil person.
Is that causes all the problems?
The Coplins?
Yes.
Those damn Coplins. There's a Copland in every town, I tell you. I think she was a Copland. So when he meets Moraine, when he finds Moraine by the fires, it's interesting that Lan is able to see like a tag or whatever on the individual Trollocs that were dead, and see that they were specific groups of Trollocs, right? I mean,
yeah,
this wasn't just a couple of Trollocs that attacked the town. That seems like it was hundreds of Trollocs.
Right, and that the Trollocs don't usually all get along.
Right. I think they called them fists, but yeah.
It was just very strange, like some great power had to bring them together.
Right.
She was like, saying that he's like, we'll not talk about prices now, but...
That's kind of ominous, isn't it?
Yes.
We're not going to talk about... We'll talk about price later, if there is a price.
He just wants to save his dad. He doesn't care what it is, but...
And Lan just needs to stop talking all the time. That guy, he's just blabbermouth. Lan strikes me as the kind of guy you wouldn't want to run into in a dark alley. You probably don't win that one.
No, and still got that.
Possibly because of it. Because they discovered what she is. She's a witch. I tell you, burn her. She's a witch. And good chance. I think that's true. That they wonder, okay, we've never seen these things. And now we have this witch in our town. And suddenly we have all these crazy Trollocs in the town. And put one and one together and you end up with three. So
exactly.
And you have to remember, this is a backwoods little town. I mean, it's not... They don't know what these things are.
Yeah, exactly.
Or why would they pick the little two rivers to go? I mean, these are things that are... Usually, if they're anywhere, they're going to be way away from a little village like this.
Right, they'd be in those big cities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, anything else with Chapter 7? He kind of has to be, right? He's going to pay anything. And you wonder what that price is going to be. No, I think you're probably right. All right, Chapter 8, A Place of Safety. So Rand leads Moraine and Lan back to Tam at the inn. And Lan mentions that he doesn't trust the Gleeman. And I bring that up just because it just seems like kind of an odd statement. Just like, I don't trust that man. You know, the guy who never talks finally talks, and that's what comes out of him. So Moraine uses the power, her one power, to heal Tam as Lan asks questions of Rand about his sword. Mentions that it's strange to see a sheep herder with a sword, especially a sword with herring marks on it. And he explains that herring markings in some places in the world represent a master swordsman, you know, a blade master. So Rand says, would it have helped you at all if I had told you about this crazy black horse with the black horseman on it, who just kind of disappeared out of nowhere? And Lan's like, yeah, no, that probably would have been good to know. Thanks. And Moraine's like, hush, Lan, we don't want him thinking it's his fault. This isn't all his fault. You know, and Moraine's just trying to get Lan not to talk about stuff like that because she has her plans, I think, for Rand and for the other boys. And, well, she doesn't want them starting off on a negative light is what I think. So, Moraine says, we're going to have to leave. Keep them from coming back. And I think it's funny, Rand's like, well, the town doesn't have to leave, do they? I mean, we'll just rebuild. That's what we do. You know, I don't think you understand the way this town works. And she's like, no, the town's not leaving. You are.
Right.
Like, you're the issue here, not the town.
Right.
Rand sleeps, Moraine and Lan leave to go find Matt and Perry. Yep.
That were born around a certain time.
It was the coffin house, Matt's house, and the blacksmith's house, right?
Yeah, right. Same age, but we're born months later. There was damage done, but it wasn't extreme. It was just like kind of like
almost superficial damage.
Yeah, it was superficial damage. The houses weren't burned to the ground.
Right.
Like they were looking for something.
I agree. Good call.
They wanted something. So wondering if, because all these boys were born around the same time within days or weeks?
I would say within a few days of each other.
Yeah. Right.
She did, and he was like, you know what, let's not talk about dreams right now. My dad's dying.
Right.
That'd be cool if we could focus on him right now.
Right. See.
Right. How can we help you if you won't help us?
Exactly. So you think that there's more there. He's more concerned about his dad and seeing his dad right now, and he's not seeing how... She doesn't want him to think that it's his fault, because it's not really his fault. But he's at the center.
That is a great way to put it.
Whatever it is, because of when they were born.
Now, do you think Moraine happens to be in this town just out of happenstance and this all happens? Or do you think she was here thinking something might happen? Okay. I like it. Wordplay.
I think she was searching for the same thing. The Trollocs were searching for her, all was searching for her.
Okay. Do you have any predictions for this week? Yep. It's funny that you say four, because originally there were four boys. And he could not think of anything. Robert Jordan couldn't think of, like, as they got further along in the story, he could not. He had these ideas of who Rand and Matt and Perrin were, but he didn't really have anything for that fourth boy and his wife. His wife was his editor. And she's like, well, you have nothing really for this fourth boy. Why don't you just drop him? You don't need a fourth boy. Just do the three. You know?
Right. But somehow, because they're also kind of important to the story, and they're like constantly brought up and pulled into it. I think that they're going to be pulled into it too, but the town still needs a wisdom. So I don't know if they can actually pull. She's an Aes Sedai, though, and she knows healing and she has magic, if they could learn more from her.
Interesting. So you're thinking maybe that Nynaeve and Egwene end up going to wherever it is they can learn more about how to use magic to help heal and things like that.
Well, with the Aes Sedai, because the Aes Sedai, you know, aren't they like magic? Like they.
Right.
But she's the apprentice to Nynaeve.
Right.
And kind of developing their characters. I know that they're not done with them yet.
I like it. Right.
To leave those two behind, but yet I can't see. Maybe Egwene goes to learn more, because she can learn more from the Aes Sedai than Nynaeve.
So you're thinking maybe Nynaeve gets left back in the town and Egwene goes with Moraine and Lan and the boys.
Well, she always wants to go. She's always following.
She definitely wants to go.
Maybe the thing is that she follows them.
Oh, like you're suggesting maybe that she doesn't go with the group. She just kind of forces her way into the group.
She just kind of follows. Yeah.
Like, hey, I see what's going on here. And don't you guys think you're going to get this adventure without me?
Yeah, like you guys are going to get into trouble.
Poor Rand, trying to run away from his little girlfriend, and she just won't leave it alone. I like it. Cool. All right. So, our discussion question this week for anybody who ends up listening, and I cheated because I didn't get the editing done this week. I'm going to try to have both episodes up by Wednesday. So, I'm just using last week's discussion question again, basically. And that question is, out of the characters we've met so far that seem to be more main characters, at least so far in the story. That's Tam, Rand, Egwene, Nynaeve, the Gleeman, Adam Fane, the Peddler, Aaron, Matt, and Rain. Oh, no. Who everyone's favorite character out of those is. And you can answer that question by emailing the show at adventuresinranland@gmail.com. I did have a subreddit set up, but I don't know what I'm doing with that stuff. And apparently it got shut down because of some kind of spam in there or something. I don't know. So eventually I'll have that back up again when I can figure all that stuff out. We do have a secondary show as well, which is my brother and I going into more details, because we've both read the series, going into more details about what Wendy and I are talking about in the same chapters, and that'll be on the Patreon. That's about... Oh, one more thing. I want to have a writing contest as well. I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I want to do a writing contest for each book. So the writing contest would be that you write a story or like a chapter that would fit into the book. It cannot involve characters that have not yet been introduced into the story through the first book. And or storylines that would be coming later, unless you veil them. Because I don't want Wendy here knowing more than she needs to know ahead of time. There's no fun in knowing how things are going to end up before you read them. I mean, it just takes the fun out of the reading. One more thing for you, Wendy. I did watch the first three episodes of what's available of the new season. Honestly, you could probably watch it. There's not a lot in there. They screwed up the storyline so bad that I was not happy. There was one scene I was super happy with in there. But the rest of them, and that was Matt against two swordsmen in a practice duel. So Matt with his stick against two trained swordsmen. That was fun. But outside of that, I'm not overly impressed with where that series is going. So I wish they would have just remade the books instead of putting their own spin on everything. But I get it. That's the way it works. I'll be saying the same thing when the Dark Tower series comes out.
I'm not gonna watch it because I don't want it, because I think that it is
gonna... I don't disagree. I think it's probably a good idea for you not to, but I didn't want to tell you you couldn't.
You're good that way.
You haven't started reading those two books I told you to read, have you?
No, I haven't.
Good, don't. Well, I just finished again, and I'd read them in the past, but it'd been a while, and I just finished the sequel. We're going to be talking after this series, if we're, you know, still going, we're going to be going through the Dark Tower with Stephen King, and there's some definite Dark Tower-isms in that book that I totally forgot about. So, you don't need to be reading that. Not yet. Yeah. Not. Oh, you probably could now, though. It's going to be a few years. You'd probably forget it by then. But yeah, I was like, oh, I forgot about that.
Well, next week, what I'll try to do is, instead of, you know, on Thursday and Friday, I'll chapters. What do I get to read?
Good question. Let me pull up my handy little spreadsheet and see, because I don't remember. I know you're going to start with chapter 9, because that's logically what comes after chapter 8. All right, it looks like we are doing chapters 9 through 14. That's 6 chapters for next week. You're going to be disappointed the week after that. You only get 5 the week after that. So, hey, we're spending, what, March through May on the first book. So it's not like you're reading that slow. Well, we don't want to do the whole book in one setting. That's boring.
Right.
We'd be talking for hours. All right, well,
okay.
Thank you for listening, and thank you, I guess. That's all. I will see you Monday, and hopefully I will have, like I said, hopefully I will have these up by Wednesday. I'm going to try to really, after I record the show tomorrow with Tim, I'm going to try to focus on getting the editing done. There's a little more to that than I thought there would be. So,
oh, yes.
Imagine that. You have to actually work.
with that.
You know, how could I not?
Okay.
Well, thank you, Wendy, and enjoy your reading. Bye.